Today on From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, we'll find out what happens to those who are swallowing the real fake news.
You say, why doesn't God destroy the devil? Well, he's defeated him already. He's broken his back. But one day, the Lord will cast him into hell. There is coming a day, at the end of it all, where God will take the devil and he will cast him into the lake of fire. You say, does the devil rule hell? No. The Lord rules everything. He is the sovereign God. The devil will suffer torment forever and ever and ever and ever. That's the backstory and the front story of the devil. That's what's going to happen to him.
Welcome to From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, where today we're going to learn to understand who the fake newscaster really is in Pastor Jeff's series, Fake News, Exposing the Lies of the Devil. It's a powerful series that will identify 8 of the big lies the devil sells to each generation, and we need to spot those who are peddling these lies. People sometimes ask, why did God create the devil? Well, today you're going to find out how all of that happened. So open your Bible, if you can, to chapter 28 of Ezekiel, and let's get started. Here's Pastor Jeff to explain who is really putting out fake news.
Ezekiel chapter 28, I'll begin reading in verse 11. Again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation over the king of Tyre, and say to him, Thus says the Lord God, you had the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering, the ruby, the topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the lapis lazuli, or sapphire, the turquoise, and the emerald, and the gold, the workmanship of your settings and sockets was in you on the day that you were created. They were prepared. You were the anointed cherub who covers. Obviously, he's not talking about a man here. You were the anointed cherub who covers, and I placed you there. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked in the midst of the stones of fire. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created until unrighteousness was found in you. By the abundance of your trade, you were internally filled with violence, and you sinned. Therefore, I have cast you as profane from the mountain of God, and I have destroyed you, O covering cherub. From the midst of the stones of fire, your heart was filled up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom by reason of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I put you before kings that they may see you. By the multitude of your iniquities, in the unrighteousness of your trade, you profaned your sanctuaries. Therefore, I have brought fire from the midst of you. It has consumed you, and I have turned you to ashes on the earth in the eyes of all who see you. All who know you among the peoples are appalled at you. You have become terrified, or terrors, or destruction, and you will be no more. Those verses give us the backstory of the one we know as the devil. And I want us to see 3 discoveries from this passage of Scripture to give us insight into his backstory. Insight number one, he was created by God as an angel. The devil was created by God, not as the devil. He was created by God as an angel. People say, well, why did God create the devil? He didn't create the devil. He created an angel, a beautiful angel, a perfect angel. Lucifer, whose name means light bearer, The star of the morning, the son of the dawn, when the Lord created him a perfect angel. Look at verse 12. You had the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. There was no blemish in this angel. There was no defect in this angel, and there was no sin in this angel. Verse 15, you were blameless in your ways from the day you were created. So what's the backstory? A perfect angel. An angel the King James calls Lucifer. And he was not only a perfect angel, he was the preeminent angel. He was the top of the heap, the top of the class. He was the masterpiece of the angelic world, this one known as Lucifer, the preeminent angel. Verse 14 says, you were the anointed cherub who covers, who literally guards. That's who this being was, Lucifer, the star of the morning, the son of the dawn. Literally, think about this. This angel was the guardian angel of God. That's the position that Lucifer had. So that's the first discovery, the first insight. He was created by God as an angel. Secondly, not only was he created by God, he was corrupted by sin. Corrupted by sin. Look in verse 15. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created until unrighteousness was found in you. By the abundance of your trade, you were internally filled with violence and you sinned. Therefore, I have cast you as profane from the mountain of God, and I have destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. He was there with God on the mountain of God, which speaks of God's government and God's kingdom. He is there as the guardian angel of God. He's as close to God as you can get. He is leading the worship of God. But then he sin. He had such an exalted position, such an exalted state. There was no one as beautiful, no other angel as beautiful as Lucifer. But he couldn't handle it. And he sinned. The scripture says he sinned. Unrighteousness was found in him. Now I want you to think with me about his sin. Pride, ingratitude, and rebellion. Those three sins are the footprints of the devil. The footprints that he leaves behind. And when you sin, when I sin, you know what we do in our hearts? We don't think about it this way, but we always fall to pride. I want to do what I want to do. I will do X because I'm captain of my own ship. And if I want to drink, if I want to do drugs, if I want to be immoral, I'm going to do it. If I want to lie, if I want to cheat, if I want to steal, I'm going to do what I want to do. If I want to be bitter at somebody, well, it's my right. I'm going to do because I will do what I want to do. There's pride involved in sin. There's ingratitude involved in sin because you're not grateful for what you have. You're not grateful for how things are in your life. And you're thinking you're getting ripped off. You're getting the short end of the stick. Pride, ingratitude, and rebellion. Because when all that stuff starts working in your heart, what do? You rebel against the commands of God. You rebel against the word of God, the will of God, the ways of God. You think about Eve in the Garden of Eden. See, the devil worked on her, and how did he work on her? He worked on her in the realm of pride, in the realm of ingratitude, in the realm of rebellion. She believed the lie that God was holding out on her. She wasn't getting her just due. I mean, that tree was going to make me like God. I would know good and evil, and I wouldn't need God. I wouldn't need to depend upon God. And so there's this, I will eat of that fruit because I will be like God, just like the devil. That's exactly how he tempted her. If you eat of this fruit, you will be like God. Isaiah 14, what did he say in his heart? I will be like the Most High God. And Eve fell with pride. She fell with ingratitude, she fell with rebellion, and she got a teammate, her husband Adam, and he ate with her, just as Satan got a third of the angels to follow him. Hey, he was created by God as an angel. He was corrupted by sin. And discovery number three, he continues for a divine purpose. Why doesn't God just wipe out the devil? Why doesn't he just obliterate him? He created him, and the same word that God used to create him, he could speak him into oblivion because just by the power of God's word, why doesn't he do that? Well, we would like him to do that But God's ways are not our ways, and God's thoughts are not our thoughts. And listen, the Lord does everything perfectly. He does it just perfectly. And so when God saw what had happened, and when he heard the devil say in his heart, "I will, I will, I will, I will," then the Lord said, "And I will. You say you will ascend, well, I will descend. And I will become a man. And I am going to defeat you, not as God squashing you like you'd squash a bug, but as a man, depending upon God." And that's what he did. Now, important to remember, when the Lord made Adam and Eve, he gave Adam and Eve dominion over the whole earth. And Adam and Eve had that dominion in Genesis chapter 1. And then in Genesis chapter 2, they were enjoying the dominion. And then in Genesis chapter 3, you know what? When they sinned, what happened to them? They died. They died inside and they lost their dominion. And they became slaves of sin and slaves of Satan. Now, when you're a slave, that means your master owns everything that you own because he owns you. And all of a sudden, Adam and Eve lost their dominion. And it was legally lost. The devil deceived them and they ate and they lost their dominion. So how does dominion come back? God becomes a man and he defeats the devil, not as God, but as a man depending upon God. You know, in the book of 1 Corinthians, we read about the second Adam. The first man, the scripture says, is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. The second Adam, who's the second Adam? That's Jesus Christ. See, in God's economy, only two men really ever live. There's Adam and there's Christ. And every man in Adam all die and Christ are all made alive. When you're born into this world, you're born in Adam. You have to be born again to be born in Christ. But Jesus came, the second person of the Holy Trinity. He came, he put on human flesh, and he defeated the devil at the cross. And the dominion that was legally lost by Adam was legally regained by the Lord Jesus. And you know, it's interesting. We don't know what the devil knows. He knows more than we do, way more than we do. But when Jesus was dying on the cross, you remember one of the last things he said was, "It is finished." He didn't say, "I am finished." He said, "It is finished." And I don't know if the devil understood what that meant. It is finished. Paid in full. But he was in the dark until the third day, and the third day it dawned on him. Hey, he's coming up out of the grave, and now I'm finished. And when Jesus came up out of the grave, he had the keys of death and of hell, and the devil had lost his keys and he had lost his dominion, and Jesus Christ defeated him on the cross and through his empty tomb. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. We are people of flesh and blood. That is why Jesus became one of us. He died to destroy the devil who had power over death. So that was God's way. See, the devil continues for a purpose, and God defeated him in the person of Jesus as a man. And isn't it interesting? The devil said, "I will, I will, I will, I will, I will." And Jesus in the garden said, "Not my will, but yours be done. But yours be done." Such a difference, such a contrast between Satan and the Son of God. He defeated him at Calvary, and he uses him as an object lesson. Now, the devil has been destroyed. His back has been broken. As Adrian Rogers likes to say, he sails a sinking ship. He rules a doomed domain. I mean, he is done. He has been destroyed. But it's kind of like the body of sin. You know, the scripture says in Romans chapter 6 that your old self, your old man as a Christian, has been crucified with him. And you say, "Well, crucified, that means it's dead." Yeah, you're dead, but it's not gone. It doesn't have power over you, but it's still there. And you still feel the effects of sin, and I still feel the effects of sin, and we still hear that old man barking out orders that we're supposed to do this and do that, and hey, I want you to sin here, I want you to sin there. Your flesh wants to gratify the flesh. And so the devil has been rendered powerless, but he's still working. Even though he doesn't have any more power and we don't have to obey him. And so why doesn't the Lord just obliterate him? It's because he uses him as an object lesson. It says in verse 17, your heart was filled up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom by reason of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I put you before kings that they may see you. So I want, God says, I want to keep you around so that they would see you, so that they would see you defeated. You know, in the Old Testament, when they would defeat, the armies would defeat another army, they would often take the king of that defeated army, that defeated country, and they would parade him behind their chariot, chained up like a dog. And they'd be walking behind, and everybody would laugh at that king who had been defeated, and they would mock him, and everyone would see him who had been shamed. That's what God is doing with the devil. You know, Pharaoh in the Old Testament is a picture of the devil. And the scripture says of Pharaoh, it's like, God, you have your people, they're under the thumb of this wicked Pharaoh. Why don't you just kill Pharaoh? God says, oh, no, I'm not going to kill Pharaoh. I'm not going to kill him right yet. I'm going to use him as an object lesson. And it says in Romans chapter 9, verse 17, for the scripture says to Pharaoh, for this very purpose I raised you up to demonstrate my power in you and that my name might be proclaimed throughout the whole earth. Did you know the story with Yahweh, God, and Pharaoh? You know, the Lord calls to Moses. He sends Moses to Pharaoh. And Moses says to Pharaoh, thus says the Lord, thus says Yahweh. Remember, that was a big deal. What's your name, God? I don't know your name. He says, I am who I am. You tell them I am sent you. Four letters, YHWH, the tetragrammaton it's called in seminary. The four letters, we call it Yahweh or Jehovah. That's God's personal name. And so he says to Pharaoh, thus says Yahweh, let my people go. And Pharaoh says, I know not Yahweh. I don't know who Yahweh is. Who is Yahweh that I should obey his voice? I do not know Yahweh, neither shall I let his people go. And God takes the most powerful king in the world at that time and turns him into fish food. Why? So that all the people would be talking about that incident and would be saying, did you hear what Yahweh, the God of the Jews, the God of the Israelites, did to Pharaoh? Wow. And that's exactly what Rahab the harlot said in Joshua chapter 2. When they come in to spy out the land, they see Rahab the harlot and she says, where have you guys been? Why you been wandering around for 40 years? She doesn't say that, but she's thinking, man, we've been scared to death of you guys. We heard about how your God parted the Red Sea, how he destroyed Egypt. And man, there was no courage left in our hearts. Our hearts melted for fear because you serve the God who created the heavens and the earth. And God used Pharaoh as an object lesson that says, this is what happens when you stand up as a man against Almighty God. And God is going to use Satan as an object lesson to say, behold the creature, behold the being who was proud, who was ungrateful, who was rebellious, who thought he could take me on. And now he is laid waste. Hey, the Lord will one day. You say, why doesn't God destroy the devil? Well, he's defeated him already. He's broken his back. But one day, the Lord will cast him into hell. It says in verse 19, you have become terrified. You have become destruction, and you will be no more. There is coming a day at the end of it all where God will take the devil and he will cast him into the lake of fire. You say, does the devil rule hell? No. The Lord rules everything. He is the sovereign God. The devil will suffer torment forever and ever and ever and ever. That's the backstory and the front story of the devil. That's what's going to happen to him. But now listen, Jesus said to those Jews, you are of your father, the devil. We like to tell people, you know, we're all just children of God. We're all just God's children. Well, they weren't. And we're not all God's children. We're all born into this world in Adam. Only two men who've ever lived, Adam and Christ. You're born in Adam, and in Adam all die, because in Adam all are in sin. That's how you come into this world, in Adam, born in Adam, a once born person. You have to be born again to get in Jesus Christ. And if you will understand that you are a sinner in need of a Savior, and Jesus is that Savior, and put your faith and trust in Him, then you know what? The scripture says He transferred us from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of His glorious light, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Listen, if you're here today and you've never gotten your sins forgiven, that can happen today. You are here today and you are in this domain of darkness. You don't have to stay there. You can put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, who loves you with an everlasting love, who died for you on the cross, who rose again from the dead, who invites you and says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If you will put your faith and trust in Him, the wonderful thing that takes place is this domain of darkness that you've been living in your whole life totally changes, and He grabs you out of there and delivers you from the domain of darkness and transfers you into the kingdom of His beloved Son. And in that kingdom, there is light, there is love, there is joy, there is peace, and there is forgiveness of sin. And if you want that, that's available to any and all who will repent and believe.
Would you like to come to the Lord today and place your faith in Him for eternal life? You can do that. God is waiting with loving and open arms to receive you as a child of God and protect and empower you today. To learn more about surrendering your life to Christ in repentance and faith, and why that matters so much to you for now and for eternity, go to fromhisheart.org. Click the Why Jesus link. There you'll get some answers to your questions and give you the help you need to make that essential decision for Him. He is drawing you now. So please respond by going to fromhisheart.org, click the Why Jesus tab. From His Heart exists to tell as many people as possible about God's love and help lead them into a genuine love relationship with Christ. That mission is made possible through the support of generous financial partners like you. And among our most faithful supporters are special friends we call VPs, Vision Partners. These are mature Christians who understand that Scripture is light in a dark world, and they want to invest in From His Heart, who is reaching the world for Christ, and do it automatically every month. This week, we're praying for 100 new VPs and inviting you to become a Vision Partner by committing to automatically giving each month to support From His Heart. As thanks for your commitment this month, we'd like to send you Pastor Jeff's 8-message sermon series, Fake News, along with his encouraging series, Holy, 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 Encountering the God of the Universe. To become a VP and receive these resources, go to fromhisheart.org or call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE. God bless you for having the vision to see how timely and important this kind of support is in these dramatically changing times. Well, that is all of our time today. I'm Larry Nobles, and thank you for joining us. And we trust that if God wills, you will be able to join us next time for the next lesson in Pastor Jeff's series, Fake News, Exposing the Lies of the Devil. And we look forward to being together with you again as we open up God's Word and share from His heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you. and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more. Go to FromHisHeart.org.